When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh my god, Donnie, is it really you?
Donnie!
I had no idea we'd find you in a floating pyramid. I would have brought your collar.
Yeah.
Because you're just itty-bitty now.
Hey, it's just a little tired.
Come here, and I open up my bag, my satchel.
As you touch the wall, Yemble, Flint, and Mannix, you see Thea disappear.
Bitch!
Oh, she has been pulled into the map?
But how would that even work?
I don't know. It is a magical flying castle. What are you talking about? How would that work?
Oh, you know what? Fair point.
How does any of this work?
If we find ourselves faced with a choice again, choose to go right.
Okay. All right, Mannix, you and me up top, and we'll leave these two here.
Then I hope we will see you soon.
I give Flint a hug.
Oh, sure, yeah, hug as well.
And you hear the sound of, like, hooves hitting the stone ahead of you and snarling and grunting. And you turn and you see glowing eyes, all four of you down your respective hallways, glowing eyes and, like, smoke billowing from these nostrils that are flaring as a skeleton minotaur charges out towards you.
Awesome.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Tom Laird.
Hey, that's me. First out of the gate, I play Flint Firebeard.
And Amy Moore.
I put the gate together, and I play Thea Amastasia.
And Carla Maxted.
I watch Amy put the gate together while relaxing in a lawn chair, and I play Yenbul Nuri.
Carla and I were there drinking drinks.
That's right. We're just having a good summer day.
That's right, because I just can't with numbers anymore. So
I'm a person who always needs to be doing something. So
I know.
Last episode, I crocheted half of a project.
I know.
She sure did.
Yeah. I edited down the wait time when she was deciding which spell to do, but hey.
The dirtiest looking. Man. Just so.
If I hadn't said anything, no one would know.
I'm kidding.
I was right in there, dick.
Where Amy gets upset with me even more is over on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. When she plays Night Hunter and I play Opal, it doesn't go well.
It goes great.
I think it goes really well.
It goes really well. It's very funny. We have a real good time playing a different game over there. Tom's the DM. He has
really loosened it up.
More tolerance for our shenanigans, which he needs to, because Russ is 85% shenanigans.
That's right.
It's true.
Russ rolls his eyes when I take an extra moment to think about a spell while I'm crocheting just to keep my hands busy. Meanwhile, he's like railroading Tom, creating this crazy world. And Tom's just like, yo, what?
It's world creation is what it is.
It all works out. And besides, I mean, Carla got to punch a young girl and an old lady in the last episode that we played. So.
Right? To save their lives.
Spoilers. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Can't give it to them for free. Come check it out. Join us over there. When you are
Carla punches old people and young people.
Yeah.
Come check it out.
Oh, no. When you are a patron, you also get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Kelsey G.
Kelsey G.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Thanks, Kelsey. G. Thanks.
Thank you, Kelsey. And now, fuck it, let's play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What sure. sound is a what sound
skeleton
does
minotaur make?
Oh, wait, what sound does a skeleton?
Oh, sorry.
What sound
I'm scared everybody.
Sound like a velociraptor.
Yeah, that is my velociraptor
only
sound.
Skeletons don't have tongues or oh, vocal right. cords, so it's just, like... Yeah. Yeah,
that's very intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. Flint, make a strength check as this... Wait, hold on.
Wait. Oh.
Yeah. As this thing comes careening towards you, Flint, you don't have to do anything because it misses.
Oh. Well, can I toss Mannix's mace back to them?
Yeah, that's it. You can do that. Absolutely. You see it coming. You toss the mace back, and we're back in initiative.
Are we re-rolling? Same order?
Nah, we'll keep the same order as last time, Neri.
Oh, wow. Bob and Doug McKenzie showed up.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
This is our Scary. Very Canadian episode. Most people don't know that skeleton minotaur is the third national animal yeah. of Canada oh. behind the beaver and the moose.
Loon. That's right.
Oh, you went moose. I went loon.
Oh, yeah. So fourth?
Fourth.
Beaver,
fourth.
Moose, loon.
Elk.
Skeleton minotaur.
Yeah, I mean, elk and moose are kind of
I feel
of
like
the
elk
same.
And moose, like they're both like an ungulate.
If you're saying... loon though, and it's on the loony. The elk is on
the toony.
What? No, a polar bear's on the toony.
Yeah,
yeah.
The elk is
okay,
on.
So it's
on the quarter.
You know what?
Animal.
Who has actual money yeah. anymore?
I think it's a caribou on the quarter, isn't it?
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah
I thought it was an elk.
It's a no, reindeer.
I think it's a caribou. Yeah.
It's a Rudolph.
It's yeah. a Rudolph.
It's a Rudolph.
Elk is reindeer.
Canada.
Or elk.
We have fun money, y'all.
Yeah, right. Come check out our zoo money.
This Canadian only podcast is over on Patreon. No, it's not. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no.
No, that's what we got here. Okay, Thea, you're up.
I'm going to cast Moonbeam. It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It has. So a silvery beam of pale light shines down in a 5-foot radius, 40-foot high cylinder centered on the point of Minotaur.
Mm-hmm.
It takes 2d10 radiant damage, but first it needs to make a constitution saving throw.
How wide across, sorry, did you say this
it's
was?
It's only a 5-foot radius.
Flint's got to make it to...
Oh, sorry, Flint. It's hard to tell where you are all stretched out up there.
What save do I have to make, Russ?
Con.
Sorry. Con? Well, Con's my good one.
Yeah, ooh, good.
A 4
ooh,
for the
that's Minotaur. That's a 28.
Well, the 28 definitely passes. The 4, however, does not. It will take 2d10 radiant damage.
You're going to take half of that, Flint.
Okay.
14.
So I'll take 7?
Yes.
Okay.
And on each of my turns after I cast the spell, I can use an action to move the beam. But I will also shoot it with an arrow. I'm going to grab my oath bow.
Are you going to whisper anything with your oath bow?
No, not this time. 7.
7 to hit?
No, 14, sorry. 14 to hit.
14 hits.
Oh, it does?
Yep.
8 piercing damage.
So, Flint, what you experience is like this radiant burning sensation, and then the ribs of this minotaur in front of you crack in.
Okay. Also, just so that you know, I didn't whisper it because I can't choose a new sworn enemy until the dawn of the next day.
Touché.
Cool beans.
Just a little.
All right.
Even if the one dies?
It
if the
says,
one dies, can't you call it, can't you change it?
When your sworn enemy dies, you can choose a new one after the next, dawn.
Day. Well, I guess it is your sworn enemy. You have to have some kind of
commitment. Yeah, and I just throw that around willy-nilly. You're my sworn enemy. No, you're my sworn enemy, so.
Yeah.
It's fair. It's just a bow and arrow now.
Mannix is going to swing their mace at the thing. It's a 14, which will hit. Yep. They rush towards the minotaur.
They need to end their turn in there. It's not.
Yeah. They feel the burn, and the minotaur is going to take some damage, 7 to be exact. And I mean, they don't run away because they don't know what it is exactly, but they're also going to have to make a con saving throw. Yes.
Yeah.
14.
A 14 will not save. So he takes half 2d10.
Okay.
yell from below, get out of there! Oh, God! 8, so that's 4 damage.
Okay. Flint.
All right, so I am standing in the middle of this moonbeam, even though I can't see it.
Yeah, you got like it's a light aura.
Well,
like
no, hold on. The whole creature gets engulfed in ghostly flames.
Yeah, and where you see it, it does.
But that's on your level.
Oh, that's on my level.
But yeah, so it's a little bit brighter than normal?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I guess I'll just do my customary 3 attacks.
All right.
First one's a 31, second one's a 20, and the third one is a 19.
All 3.
Perfect. Gotta love those plus 13 bonuses, y'all.
I wouldn't know. Amy?
Never have occurred to me. No, I have
perfect,
no idea.
Perfect, perfect. Okay. First one, 15, 23, and 16 more is 39 points of damage.
Holy shit!
Wowzers.
Bones crack, things crunch.
Boom, crack the sound of his bones, and the beast just crumbles, 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 crumbles. That's how this goes.
It's really good.
Fifi Dobson would be proud, I'm sure.
you beat the HP pool, the health the pool HP by pool? 1. So tell me how you destroy this.
I guess as I like continue to hack into this thing with my axe, by the third slash, it's just like bone dust everywhere.
And the creature before you, the flaming minotaur before you, crumbles to the ground, disperses into the ground, Thea and Yemble, pile of bones and dust in front of you, Flint and Mannix.
This spell lasts for a minute.
Okay.
Can I just keep it with me and just move it forward as we go?
Oh, Flint, you ended your turn. Make a con saving throw.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That is a 24.
Half damage.
It says when a creature enters a spell area for the first time or starts its turn. Did he start his turn there? Oh, well, yeah,
he started and ended his turn. So you
so you're good, though. 24. Poof. Half damage. Right. I need to roll that. I know how to play this game. Ooh, it was a 1, and then it tipped, and it was a 9.
Oh.
And a 6. 15 damage. Half of that. 7.
Okay.
So can I keep my moonbeam up?
Sure. Mannix.
I push it far ahead of me.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mannix takes a step back as he is radiantly burning.
Yeah, I push it forward.
Yeah.
Shall we on?
Yeah, we'll walk slowly behind the colorful, brighter light that's in front of us.
It's like kind of like a little spotlight that no one wants to be in.
Thea, how are you feeling? Are you okay?
No, I'm doing pretty good, considering. Yeah.
Okay, you let me know if you need help.
Thanks, Yanbul.
Okay, somebody roll me a D8 as you continue forward into this maze, taking only right turns.
I'm into it. 6.
Okay, you carry forward. Continuing the same, you see Flint and Mannix, you see your friends walking along beside you within this miniature maze... within this miniature tunnel map that you are...
No, we heard the word.
Yeah, no, that was Jeff.
I don't know what you're talking about. I heard the word maze.
Yeah.
Map. Map. Yeah. You see your friends moving alongside you in this miniature map of the tunnel system that you're walking through. The Yenbul and Thea, you see out and into the elongated versions of your friends walking along beside you. You carry on for a little ways, taking right turns. The view of the hallway in front of you still maintaining that bit of darkness 30 to 45 feet in front of you, almost like it's materializing as you're walking. Everybody make a perception check as you're walking.
Oh, 23.
22.
We're perceptive as 13. Fuck down here.
We're seeing so much down here with our tiny eyes.
Mannix is taken aback by all the sights to see. Okay, you're all continuing walking forward. Both Thea and Yemble, you see coming up, not really clear, but enough that it brings you pause, what looks like an intentionally raised stone in the floor. that extends quite a ways. Flint and Mannix, however, do not see it.
As we stop and we look at each other, I'm sure, do we look up and notice that those two are continuing to walk forward?
I mean, you would see them continuing to walk forward.
Well, let's see how this turns out.
Is Thea's moonbeam still going?
How long have we been walking?
You've been walking for longer than a minute.
Okay. Yeah. It's gone.
So I was going to say, we were making a conscious effort to stay behind it.
To not walk into that?
Yeah. So
I would like...
Searing radiant pain?
If it had stopped, maybe we were stopping.
I leave it like on top of the surface that they shouldn't go on.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the spotlight. Look, everybody. No, it would have... Yeah, it would have been gone.
Okay.
No, the two of you walk, and Flint, as you step down, because I assume you're a bit forward, as you usually are. You step down and feel the stone move below you. Mm. All four of you hear a loud rumble. And then walls drop around you. You hear a thudding crash as walls drop around you. Not on top of you, but around you. You are all standing in complete darkness.
Great.
No one hears that.
Yenvol doesn't hear that?
Can I cast light? It's a cantrip.
You can.
As she does that, I feel out around me. Do I feel her?
You don't feel her. You feel stone walls all around you.
Can I cast produce flame in my hand and see if it can...
You produce flame. After a while, you see and feel only stone walls in front of you. And after a while... You hear the sound of grinding stone, and they begin to move out of place and back up over top of you, where you see all of your friends. Well, Thea sees Yenbul, and Flint and Mannix see each other.
We're back in our respective situations. Oh, Yenbul, that was creepy.
Yes, I could hear nothing.
I couldn't see anything.
I was all alone. It was very frightening.
Okay.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Is Flint still standing on top of the trigger?
He's standing in the exact same location he was standing before. Flint, what do you do?
That's a good question. What do I do? But everything's back to normal.
It is as, you know, before Stonewall surrounded you, it is as you were previously. After a few, you know, you were probably anywhere between 2 and 5 minutes.
I was just wondering whether or not our raised rock got depressed when he stepped on it.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yes. As he did, it also depressed.
Okay. I guess I'll just like slowly step off the stone.
You lift your foot and the stone remains in place.
I turn to Mannix and I say, so I guess we just keep going?
I guess so.
Should we just keep going, Enbul?
Yes, I think so.
Flint and Mannix look to the map, and where they see Yenbul and Thea both shrugging.
And we walk forward.
You walk forward. You carry on for a ways, and you see along the floor a bit of a glowing light. It is blue in color, and the more you softly step forward towards it, the light of the torches illuminates an end to this hallway and a doorway. And below the doorway, it is emitting this blue light that you're seeing. The doorway is wooden and carved. And in the carvings, you see it looks like bones carved into the wood of this door.
I'm not going to lie, Yenbul. I'm kind of scared to touch stuff at this point.
Yes, everything in this pyramid is dangerous or a trick, and the bones seem particularly a bad sign.
Is it a push door or a pull door? I don't look like an asshole when I open it.
It is a handled push door. Flint and Mannix, what are you doing?
I don't know. I guess, how quickly has Thea reached for this door?
Well, not super fast. I'm very trepidatious at this moment.
Okay, so I was just curious if the door, like, started opening in front of us, much like the plate got depressed for you guys.
Not yet.
Okay.
There's a moment of hesitation on all parties' parts, if you would like to. Is there any point we should check in one of us with them, or are we concerned about separating the separations?
I mean, it's always a concern, but we can still see them on the map.
Yes,
so I feel like everything's okay.
You look to the map and it shows you this dead end, for lack of a better term, but you do see like a doorway, but nothing beyond is showing up on the map.
It hasn't even occurred to Thea that we could climb back up the wall, maybe, and get back to where they are, because we've already gotten through.
I know, me too.
So we just live down here now, I guess?
I guess.
It's just where I'm at. Like, Thea hasn't thought of it at
all.
Also,
I was like, well, we split the party, and now we live in this map world. Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, one of them could just touch the map and come down. We could climb up.
Nope, this is how this is happening, apparently. Why are we like this?
I don't know.
I guess with Mannix's question, like, I'll go back to that for a second.
Okay, yep.
I mean, do you think the same thing will work if we touch this map and head down there? Or is it like a one-time, one-room deal back where we were before?
I don't know. Our previous experiments led us to believe that at least one of us needed to be in the other location for this to work. I don't know what would happen if we were all to jump in on one side or the other.
Well, I mean, maybe it was only that one hallway to get around. Maybe now we're free to reign as a group.
It's possible. And what if one of the realms closes in on itself? Just asking questions.
Well, then I guess we're all stuck together, if that's the case.
Literally and figuratively, yes. Perhaps potential mush if it closes in on the walls. If you would like to go, I can certainly wait here. I don't know if I feel comfortable knowing that elements close off
if all of us are in one or the other.
No, I hear what you're saying. If you don't think it's a good idea, I'm totally good to stick with you here.
Thea opens the door.
Is the door opening for us?
The door is opening for you,
That's
yes.
my door opening.
Felt like I was playing Resident Evil. It was really good, Amy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You see into the room from your location, Thea, especially because you're the one who opened the door, and it is a completely blue illuminated room. Inside, in the center of the room, you see a glowing crystal.
Ooh, pretty.
Suspended in the middle of the room.
So blew his light to this blue little doorway. Blew his house.
Dabba-dee-dabba-dee.
Oh, Yenbul. At least this is a pretty room. I'm sure maybe this blue light will kill us or something.
Yes, but you're right. It's less frightening than the skeleton minotaur.
Before I go through the doorway, because I didn't do this before, can I check for traps?
Yeah, investigate.
Yeah. Oh, 12.
Everything looks fine.
Everything looks fine.
Famous last words.
Right?
Right.
Yenbul, after you. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm totally kidding. If Flint was here, I'd be like, Flint, after you. It's
That's
just
fair.
A habit. Okay. Well, do we go in? You know, we can't just
yes,
stay here.
I feel we must. We can't just stay here. Let's look at this. This whole room seems to be built around this one thing, so I must assume it is important. And I want to go check out the... It's suspended, did you say?
Yeah,
it's just floating there.
Appears to be suspended in the center of the room as you enter, if you all enter.
Yenbul and I enter. Yes, mm-hmm. I can't speak for Flint and Manny.
Yeah, I mean, if we see them entering, we'll enter as well.
All four of you enter the room, and you see before you that illuminated blue charm, which is emitting this blue light. And on the floor, you see carvings or engravings. Flint and Thea, make a check. Perception check.
Ah!
That good?
11.
It went great.
It was a 2, but I had +9, so it was the only thing that saved me.
16 for me.
Not even saved.
Flint, you immediately... Also, okay, so Flint, you walk into this room. You see the map. It goes up to the doorway because it's been following you, and then like sucks back onto the wall to the left as you enter the room.
So it's no longer like following us. It's now fixed.
Well, it's not necessarily fixed. As you walk into the room, it still moves along the wall, but it has
taken a left.
It has to follow a wall in order to proceed forward.
Okay.
Flint, particularly, these carvings are very reminiscent of carvings you saw while in Blackpool. You recognize them immediately. Thea, you recognize that they're familiar to you, but you can't quite put your finger on it.
I've seen these somewhere. I have... They seem familiar. I can't think where.
Mannix, do you know anything about Orcus?
He's one real bad dude.
Unlike Bahamut, who's a real cool guy.
He's a real cool guy.
I know some, not an extensive amount.
Well, we had a bit of a run-in with some of his followers, I guess you would call them. And the town they were in had a lot of these carvings in it.
Right.
So that might be something we should be aware of.
We have seen these carvings throughout parts of our time here in the pyramid. Is it safe to say that perhaps Shangalar is in some way connected to the occurrences?
I mean, it would make sense to me.
Interesting. I don't know what that does for us in this specific moment, but...
The carvings are of words or, like, pictograms or...
More, yeah, it's just images of bones, bone structure. There's no real words to them, just images of skeletal forms or just specific bones.
Right. But I don't recognize them.
No.
As like, okay. How big is the crystal?
It's about the size of a tennis ball.
Okay.
It's a lot smaller than I thought it'd be.
I was picturing it like tiny or enormous.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking possibly disco ball.
I was going enormous, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Glad I asked. Yeah. This seems more portable.
Are there any exits in this room?
No, there are not. Just the one you came in.
But does our roof, do our walls stop and we can see?
Oh, yeah. Can we still see our friends up above?
You can, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So the whole structure of the place hasn't changed.
No, the rules are still the same as far as that's concerned.
Do I know anything about crystals?
She went through a phase in college where she was like reading tarot cards.
They center your chakras,
reading a lot about Wicca.
I always carried quartz in my pocket.
We all did it.
You can make a history check and ask me and tell me what you're looking for in particular.
If I know of this particular kind of crystal, if this is like a famous crystal, if this is like...
Is it Billy Crystal?
20, not Nat.
You don't know this particular crystal, and it doesn't look like anything natural.
I want to take it. I have the urge to take it.
Do you think that... Remember we saw the carvings of the faces, and we touched them, and we transported? Do you think the crystal will help us do something? We seem to have come to a dead end.
Maybe. What if it's powering this whole situation and we plummet out of the sky?
Oh, I had not considered that.
I mean, we could technically call that a win, I guess.
Yes, not for us, but for the greater good.
Yeah, no, definitely, yeah. Okay, what about this? And I take a little, I've got like a little leather coin purse. And I show it to Yenbul and I say, what if we take this and kind of scoop it out of the air so we don't have to touch it, because I feel like touching stuff.
Yes.
Might be.
Yes, I think this is a good idea.
Like, what if we touch it and die or something, you know?
Yes.
If I die, can you take care of Donnie?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Flint's not here otherwise, you know.
Yes, I will care for your small dragon friend.
Thank you.
Should we take it?
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, do you see...
There's no other egress.
Do we have another option?
Except for the door we walked in, but I presume that would lead us back to where the path we took, if we were to take all left turns to get back there.
And there's nothing else on the map?
He goes over and looks at the map. I see our friends, Yenbul and Thea, within the room, walking closer...
Does it show the little bag?
They are moving with a tiny satchel towards the center of the room. Perhaps they are going to take it for us?
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess just prepare yourself for whatever's going to happen next.
All right, we will let them do the dirty work and take the charm. Back down to Yenbul and Thea.
I carefully am going toward it with my leather bag, and I lift it up and hover it above the crystal, and then quickly put it down and scoop it up, like catching a fish.
Right.
And then I whoop, and I pull on the two string ends to tighten the top of the pouch.
Okay, so you're holding, you have in your possession, in your hand, the pouch with the crystal. Okay, as Mannix is narrating this for you, what he's seeing on the image there, Flint, you see the crystal in front of you disappear before your eyes. He says, I think they got it in the bag.
So now what?
You are holding it by the strings.
The strings.
And feel a pressure on your wrist. You look down and you see a tattoo of sorts
begin to form on your skin of a crystal, very similar to the one in blue that you just put into the bag.
Yembo?
Yes?
And I lift my wrist and I show her the crystal.
Oh, I did not realize you had the tattoo there. It's very nice.
It just showed up.
Oh, I see.
It could have been uglier.
It's a nice tattoo. I guess it is some sort of magic tattoo crystal. It is nice.
Maybe it gives me special powers. Can I search within myself to, like, know whether or not I feel different magically?
Yeah, you can make an arcana check.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to do that. That's only a 13.
You don't immediately, you don't feel any different other than the new image on your wrist.
Cool. Okay, Yenbul, I'm thinking it's going to kill me immediately, which is cool.
Maybe. Yes, it's a good start.
Since there's no way out.
You look behind you now, and there is a doorway on the wall.
Oh. I've spoken too soon.
I think you have done it.
Flint and Mannix, you see, as if being drawn into place, this doorway form ahead of you.
Yeah, I guess we start making our way over towards it.
We see them walking towards it and do the same, I suppose. Let's keep the party separate together.
You all proceed towards the door, and it opens, and it looks very similar to the hallway that you've been walking down, torchlit, fading light. You continue walking rights only?
Yeah.
Yep.
We made a deal.
Yeah.
We did, even though we can totally see each other on the different maps and stuff. We're just going to stick to going right on.
Well, I mean, if ultimately if we come to a dead end and there's no way to go forward, then we know that an alternate turn will have to happen.
That's right. True.
But like easy way to map out a maze when you only turn one direction.
That's true. Right?
It's like we had a plan.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Like
Russ hasn't told you how many times you've turned, though. So
I know.
Yeah.
But we'll just tell Russ that we go exactly back the way we came because we're all aware of how many times we turned.
And then we'll all take lefts.
Totally. Player knowledge, character knowledge. Characters know more than you do at this point.
That's
great.
Really true.
Yeah, almost always.
Almost always.
Yep.
Okay. You continue down the hallways taking right. Somebody roll me a D8, please.
It's your turn, Amy.
Oh, God. Here it goes. 7.
You walk for a while and nothing of any great urgency occurs until you get to another location where you see a faint light up ahead of you, and the color of that light is purple.
Well, this seems familiar.
Keep going.
You carry forward, and there is another door in front of you, purple light emitted below. Carvings, again, very similar on the door. There is a circular engraving, but it's like a clean slate, almost like there would be have something carved there, but there is nothing there. You open the door, and inside, very similar room, you see a purple charm about the same size as the blue one that you had just taken, and carvings again on the floor circling this crystal.
Your turn.
Yes, I will take this one. I also pull out a small sack.
I assume we have them in our, like,
I think so,
gear.
We just use them to carry things, you know, old-timey stuff.
Yeah. Salted meats and stuff.
Et cetera, exactly. Our gorp.
Our gorp. Welcome to the middle. Hi. How's it going?
It isn't just Russ here, but we would have let him talk by himself.
I wanted to see him.
We were all just waiting. But then he asked a question, which wasn't really to us, but sort of was to us. And I felt like, oh, I feel so rude. I'm not answering.
I love watching the Zoom call when there's like this slight hesitation with everybody's face. Of like, should I talk here? Or is he doing one of these weird things where he's talking to the listener again? Which isn't a weird thing at all, because that's basically what podcasting is.
Just the whole point of like
is.
This whole thing we're doing.
That's the whole deal.
It's who we talk to all the time. Yeah. So.
Speaking of talking to our listener, you lovely person, you,
thank you for being here with us. We often talk about our Patreon, and kind of every year we make a few changes, mix things up a little bit to make sure that we're offering the best and only things that people want to be hearing. And we've done that and have made some tweaks and changes. And this month we are releasing a special bonus episode, maybe two, probably two, because it was a long recording of a special Halloween episode that the four of us got together and recorded, featuring Moot, Glim, and Sully, which I'd like to say is a one-shot and will never come up again in main story. But, you know, sometimes things tie in, and this was probably going to be one of those, because it left a real good mark on everybody.
Well, we were all such Halloweenies during it, so... Mm-hmm.
But that's for our patrons over on patreon.com/dumbdragoncast.
So if that's not you and Russ wasn't actually talking to you this whole time, what he means is we'd really love to see over on Patreon, because we do a lot of fun stuff like that.
And that all the audio is at our $5 a month tier. And we put out a lot of extra audio every month. I mean, we do weekly episodes and then Facing Fate weekly episodes when we're in release there. But yeah, Tom's got a sweet game that he runs called The Adventures Of.
Monthly for that one.
And then these bonus episodes that come up, which we have a ton of fun with. And, you know, we just keep trying to bring some fun adventures for you and for us, because we love to play them. So check it out. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We'll see you over there. Now I'll get you back to this episode. See if eventually we'll get out of this knot maze that we're in.
It's not looking good.
I have a strong feeling that it might be soon.
Here's hoping.
We'll see. Fingers crossed. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yimble walks forward with a bag, and again, Flint and Mannix, you see moving up and down, arms with a bag above their head. And then the gem in front of you disappears, and Yimble, you have a bag with this purple gem inside.
I'm going to pull up my sleeves to see if I have a sick new tat.
You don't immediately, but you watch for a second, and then it slowly comes into view on your wrist.
Twinsies.
We look so cool. I bet they're going to be so jealous if they don't get any of these crystals and they don't have new tattoos when we finish.
I think we should let Flint get the next one, but hopefully it's a tramp stamp for him.
I mean, to overwrite the one he already has? That's right.
Wait, is that already canon that you've got a lower back tattoo?
I think it maybe
I think
is.
It might be.
It sounds like something.
Remember.
It
sounds right.
From the naked interrogations,
it sounds like something
right?
You might like have. Yeah. Listeners, if you can remember better than we can, think like back maybe 3 years ago. Does Flint have a lower back tattoo? We need to know. And if so, can we get some art on that? Because I think him turning around, bending over, shirt comes up a little bit.
Little peak there. On the wall behind you, you see again the door drawn into place, and then, if you wish, carry forward.
We do.
Yes.
Another half an hour or so goes by, and...
I'm piggybacking on Yenbul.
Thea's piggybacking on Yenbul. You're walking down...
Carry me.
Hearing sounds, but never coming across anything. Hearing groans, echoes in the distance, but never coming across a figure. You make it to another door, and beneath that door is a green light.
Should we let them get this one?
I feel that we should make sure they understand what is happening, and they take one and the door appears.
Maybe it's best we don't put all of our crystals in one basket, as it were.
Yes, we don't put all of our tattoos on one arm.
Yeah, I'll open the door.
Okay, the door opens.
How long did you stand in front of it? Thinking the girls were going to do it.
I mean, longer than I want to admit.
Mannix and Flint, we just see them staring at the pictograms on the wall, and then the pictograms look to them and like big wink. Like one eye disappears and then reopens, and then Flint knows it's okay to enter. On the door in front of you, you see the same, the slate, the circular slate that was clean in the last room. There is at least a partial carving of like a hip bone.
Like the pelvic bone?
Yeah.
Is it connected to the knee bone?
It is not, because that would be weird.
Wouldn't it be the leg bone? That's right. Wait a minute.
It's a weird world we're in. It's like the pelvic bone, roughly sketched in the middle of this circle. You open the door, you look in, and it is very almost identical to the room's previous carvings on the floor and a green crystal gem in the middle.
All right, I guess I slowly walk forward with the bag.
Again, Flint and Manic staring at the pictograms, waiting to see the little bag.
You see the little hands go on the hips. You see the foot go out and tap, tap, tap.
Waiting over here.
I guess they are waiting for us to grab this one.
I use the novelty bag with a dollar sign on it that Thea gave me for one Saturnalia festival.
Yeah, Thea, you recognize it in an outstretched fashion immediately.
Ha! Knew it'd come in handy.
Unless you otherwise state, you walk forward and pull the bag over top. It disappears to you, Yenbul and Thea, and you see a new door drawn in.
God, I hope it's a back tap.
Me too. Me too.
Or ankle.
Do I notice anything on me?
You feel a pressure on your wrist. You're pretty, armored up, aren't you?
I'm sure I could take off some sort of van brace to take a look.
Yeah, you put it into the bag, pull the strings or however the bag secures itself. You feel this pressure on your wrist and you look and you see a tattoo of a gem-like image, green in color, appearing on your wrist.
Okay.
I realize you're saying crystal, and all these tattoos I'm picturing are actually D20s, is what I am picturing every time you said it.
I have a tattoo of a D20.
If that's what you see, then that's what you see. That's totally fine. Yep. Game represents game. Yep. The door appears on the wall as it has in other rooms.
No, I think we keep going.
Mm-hmm. You carry
forward. Feels like something's happening. We don't know what it is, but something.
You carry forward. The echoes continue through the halls as you walk down them. You get feelings that you're being watched or followed, but every time you turn around and wait or move to go towards them in either area, the big world or the small world, you don't see anything. You carry on in other ways, and you get to the end of a long hallway, and you come up to a door. There's no light under this door, or none that you can see anyways. And on the door, you see that the slate, the pelvic bone, and what looks like a spine now carved into this doorway in front of you.
Team Real World opens up the door.
You open the door, Flint and Manix, Yenbul and Thea.
Thea had a marker outstretched and was just about to draw a penis on it when the door opened. And she's like, oh, missed opportunity.
The door opens before you, and inside you see, a room very similar to the one previous. There's the carvings, circular carvings on the floor. But it's illuminated by a black, almost super dark purple light. So the room isn't super well lit. And it's coming from this black-looking crystal in the middle of the room.
This one looks creepy.
I'm going to go in my bag and find something white to see if it glows in this light. Maybe some sort of psychedelic mushroom poster.
Yeah, I like that. It glows. Ooh. The iridescence of it. You even see it just faintly in the big world.
That's cool. Have you been carrying that poster around this entire time?
Yes, well, when everything went so bad in Kalimport, I was on my way to get it framed for my cool psychedelic room at my house.
Oh, that's awesome.
Maybe if it is not destroyed, I will take you there one day.
That'd be great. You know what? We should hang this poster in this room.
You're right, a little we were here present for Shangalar.
I mean, he won't be able to fully enjoy it because we're totes going to take that crystal, but yeah.
You look up into the big world and you see Flint and Manix staring down at you.
They see us. They see little
just like laughing. a little poster. They're laughing.
Now it's up on the wall.
Heads back and forth. Yeah. And then a poster appears on the wall, if that's where you put it. It's glowing with all, it's like, you know, all the lines and all the colors are illuminated by this light that's being emitted.
I look at Mannix and I say, well, this one's, I guess, a little different than the rest, but same idea?
I guess so. Shall I take it?
Well, I mean, everyone else already has one, so.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Who knows how many of these things there are?
Right. Okay. He grabs a bag and begins moving towards the crystal and puts it over top. And it disappears for Yenbol and Thea and goes into the bag for Mannix. He feels a pulse or pressure on his wrists and looks down. Says, did you get one of these?
I did. I have an idea. And I hold out my bag with a dollar sign on it to, like, switch bags with him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He passes it to you. You pass. So he has the green one. You have the black one.
Yeah.
The tattoos on your wrist morph color before your eye as you grab and hold onto the bags for a second.
So they change entirely. It's not like I get a second one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. I guess switch back. I'm kind of attached to that bag with the dollar sign on it. It was a gift, you know.
Sure. Yes, of course. He hands it back to you, takes back the black one.
Is there a new door? Did anything else weird happen other than that this was a black one?
I will say this conversation was like quick. And as the gem is taken, this quick exchange is happening.
Can I try one more thing?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
Can I have both of the bags?
Sure, yes. He hands you back the bag carrying the black gem. And on your wrist, almost like they're piled on top of each other, there's a green and a black gem.
Huh.
What do you see? Mannix looks down to his wrist and says, mine's gone.
I mean, I have both now.
Interesting.
What are they doing up there? They're just passing bags back and forth.
I know. We have been down here. We put up a poster. All they had to do was just grab the crystal. I don't know. At least you get a little break. I know you were tired.
Thanks for carrying me that few minutes
It's slower this time, but a door does slowly begin to appear, and there's a bright light that comes from it as it's appearing on this wall.
I'll hand his black one back to him just because it doesn't make sense for me to have both. Or does it? I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I have no idea.
Okay, you hand it back to Mannix, and he looks down, and the tattoo reappears on his wrist. The doorway slowly begins to appear. It took longer than it did in the last few rooms, but there's like an almost like bright golden light that is coming from behind it now.
Ooh, this one's pretty. For a moment, I've almost forgotten that we're in a lich's flying pyramid and of doom.
I know, it seems like we are just on a fun adventure. Not fighting for death to save my beloved homeland.
All right. Thea opens the shiny door.
You open the door, Flint and Mannix, the door opens before you. And as the door cracks open, inside there is a hideous cacophony of sounds. Groans, screams, moans. And as the door swings open, unless you stop it,
I slam it shut.
It goes silent.
Oh, this is a bad room.
You look behind you, and the door you entered is gone.
Of course it is. Okay, well, that door's not there anymore. Is there, like, a keyhole I can peek my peeper through? And
Flint and Mannix, you see the door slowly open, you hear that sound, and then it slams shut. You look down, and the two figures, there's like question marks above their heads, exclamation marks, and they're looking at each other, waving arms in the air.
Like, we just don't care.
Just don't care. Sorry, I'm just looking to see if I have, like, silence or if I have something. I don't think I do, but...
I cast Flaming Sphere, and I'm just, like, holding on to it.
Okay.
I'd like to... Can I ready an action if this door opens up and things start coming at me? Can I throw a Flaming Sphere at them?
Yeah, because Flaming Sphere, you can move on each of your turns, right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can have it readied.
I want it ready.
In the image, Flint and Mannix, you see just this flaming ball pop up beside Yembol and Thea.
Is it just like a brighter space in their world?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully they learn their lesson with the moonbeam.
Time will tell.
I guess we'll see.
Okay.
All right. Let's try this again. Are you ready?
I'm going to take some, like, little scraps of fabric or something and maybe shove them in my ears a little bit so it's a bit less cacophonous.
Sure.
I want to do that, too.
You are allowed to do anything. Yep.
Anything?
You're allowed to do anything within
the world, Russ.
In the image, you see them put in like big plugs into their ears, like comedic size.
I kind of look at Mannix and say, like, yay, nay, what do you think?
For going through the door or putting big plugs in our ears?
I mean, both, I guess.
I don't have any that size. I don't know where, maybe it's specific to their... realm, but I don't know. I don't know if there's any right answer. There's no door behind us anymore.
Yeah, I guess just get ready.
They grip their mace a little tighter and move towards the door. The door opens. The sound comes back. It's muffled for Yembol and Thea. And inside, you open the door and step out onto a ledge. The ledge goes around the perimeter of this square room, but what catches your eye is the pit below you, filled with undead. There are hulking orcs, skeletons, zombies, whites, banshees wailing in the distance. And in the center of this room, you see a pillar that comes up, and on top of that pillar is a cage with a figure in the center of it, who's huddled, has her fingers in her ears, and you see before you in this cage Yembol. The song Nowhere Land is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music and sound effects can be found at epidemicsound.com or boomlibrary.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Christian Brown, Derelith, Devin Michaels, Gabriel Lynch, Jacob Madden, Jessica Babiuk, Cat Waterflame, Mark Hartless, and Stevie. To find out more about how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. where you can have exclusive access to 50-plus hours of bonus audio content, create in-game NPCs and items, as well as play games with the cast. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
All right, well, I'm going to cast... Wow. Okay, yep. I'm going to cast our... no, not that one.
I mean, she's just doing this out of spite now.
Russ is making a great face right now. Do you like that?
Do you like that?
Do you like that?
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
In the alley, the scent is stronger, overpowering. As I watch, the overhead lamps flicker and wink out one by one. God damn it. No. The girl appears briefly under the last streetlight, the headphones snug against her ears, the Walkman clasped to her hip. She's oblivious as she walks, lost in her own world. Hey, stop! I need to talk to you! Then she swallowed up by the darkness again. Helen, wait a second! It strikes her in the gloom so fast she barely has time to scream. She falls into the edge of the lamplight and lies there, bleeding, motionless. The man's skin is scaly, flaking, and there are patches of soot on his cheeks. He stares at me with eyes like midnight. Eyes that are devoid of remorse, devoid of humanity. He's one of them. I turn and run, and I don't look back.
The Road of Shadows, a new mystery and suspense audio drama by Mark R. Healy, creator of The Strata. Listen now at theroadofshadows.com.